it's crack-a-lackin', everybody. Money Smart Guy Matt Cipolla here, hailing to you from Dallas, Texas, back from the Kentucky Derby this weekend, and now here in studio with episode 7-4, already 7-4, Milton.
7-4, baby.
Joining me in studio is my co-host, Milton Alvarez. And Milton, I'm sore from a couple days ago workout still, so I appreciate you. And thankfully, I'm thinking about you every time I move around and feel the soreness.
Every time you put your clothes on, take your clothes off, you think about me. I love it.
Speaking of clothes on, clothes off, we have an interesting show here this afternoon. We've got our reaction to the Tom Brady GROAT, greatest roast of all time. We'll be discussing that. We'll be discussing a new site we're launching because some people have been asking about our merchandise. Well, we're going to be announcing that here this afternoon. The Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell announced that he is not lowering interest rates, and we can be foreseeing a high interest rate environment in the foreseeable future. And what does that mean to you? You've always got some things here about myth busting Wednesdays.
Which, by the way, I'm sick of busting these myths, man. I'm really sick of them. The biggest one for me is exercise, a waste of time. We have a group of influencers and podcasters who claim that exercising is a waste of your life and you should focus your energy on other things. And the second thing that I want to be able to ask any married man out there, especially for a man right now who's currently looking into that realm of his life, should a man wait until he has the funds to buy a nice ring for his woman, or should a woman wait for a man to be able to afford the big ring that she wants?
What a great question. Also, speaking of marriages, dad says to his child, his daughter, get a college degree that's worth it. She wants to go to a degree. Her brothers are doctors. And dad's ridiculing her somewhat, I guess, in this video, that degree she's pursuing is not worth it. So let's get started with the Tom Brady reaction. I don't know if you heard about this, but this past Sunday in Los Angeles at the Forum, Los Angeles Forum, where the Lakers back in the day, Showtime, was they made their name, they cut their teeth, where the Buss family made the Lakers who the Lakers are, and they did a roast there of Tom Brady, who's from San Mateo, California, but obviously 23 years in the NFL for the New England Patriots, greatest quarterback of all time, GOAT, the GOAT, 7 championship rings. Well, they decided to roast him. He volunteered. He said, oh, no problem. I'm going to sign off on this. And I'm going to let everybody roast me. Celebrity lineup. Celebrity lineup. If you know the drama also around a 23-year professional career, a lot of cameras have been around his life, his entire professional career. And before that, even in his amateur career, when he was a quarterback in Michigan. And they roasted him for 3 hours. They're just taking it out. No class, no taste, jokes, just tearing a brother down. Let's take a look at some of the things that people had to say in fun in this roast of Tom Brady. Let's take a look at this.
Tom Brady, why do you look like a gay Tom Brady?
You sometimes gotta f*** your coach. You know who else f*** they coach? Giselle. She f*** that karate man. 8 karate class today, and she's still a white belt. The only bruises she had were on her ass.
Do you know that every morning Kevin wakes up at 4 a.m. to make a movie?
Oh, I love your movies.
Or as I call them, short films. You have 7 rings. Well, 8 now that Giselle gave hers back. Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like,
Bert Kreischer is a king. He looks like the Tiger King and the Liver King only ate Burger King and had a liver that looked like Martin Luther King got beat up by Rodney King.
An ex-athlete, high cheekbones, silky hair. You remind me too much of my stepdad now.
Kim was terrified to be here tonight. Not because of this, but because her kids are home with their dad.
That one was good, man.
So, if you're not used to this, by the way, I grew up getting roasted. I roast my family members. I roasted guys in the locker room I played sports with. I roasted my friends. Roasting is a part of life.
Yeah.
You know, but lately, I would say the last 4 or 5 years, especially in LA or especially in America, roasting and talking about there's a lot worse subjects there to talk about. A couple things I didn't agree with. You know, we're talking about this earlier. You know, talking about the other tight end of the Patriots, sadly, who got caught in a murder ring, and they talked about him.
Yeah.
They were kind of obviously ridiculing him.
Yeah.
They, you know, the two guys that were presenting together, they brought up Hitler, and you know, you talk about Jewish. I mean, the certain things that I mean, they crossed the line in a lot of things that crossed the line. Yeah. And so, you know, but I'm looking at out of that portion, I love the roast. I love the comedy. I love the performances.
If this was 20 plus years ago, would you still think that they crossed the line? Because, you know, if you look at comedians in the late 90s, early 2000s, what they would say was completely out of pocket. Like, your morale, your confidence levels would just go through the freaking floor. And that's what they were doing here. But yeah. Since it's 2024 and now everything becomes extremely sensitive, do you really believe that it was out of pocket? Or do you think it was out of pocket for this generation?
It's out of pocket for this generation because this is generation soft.
Yeah.
So when you're looking at comics, why are comics so entertaining? Why do people love hearing comics?
Because they say what other people don't want to say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they actually articulate it in a way that many people never thought of articulating because they arrest the thought. As soon as they think it, they laugh at it to themselves, but they arrest the thought and they arrest the outburst.
Yeah.
When it comes to it. You know, a couple guys that weren't in favor of this, retired NFL star Jason Kelce, if you can take a look at my screen here. Jason Kelce here doesn't get the Tom Brady roast. My family's ruined. It's so funny. You know, by the way, this guy's a man's man.
Yeah.
You know, this is Travis Kelce's older brother. This is Jason Kelce who looked out for his younger brother, Travis, who's dating
Taylor Swift, right?
Taylor Swift. Who's a tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs, two-time Super Bowl champion.
Taylor Swift is tight end of the Kansas City Chiefs?
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are dating. Well, we might as well say the NFL.
Yeah.
Because she brought a lot of eyeballs by dating an NFL player. But a lot of these guys, look at this quote. It was pure entertainment, and I'm really happy they did it. But I don't just get the roast, says Jason. I don't know why people do it. Maybe I take myself too seriously. It was star-studded. The best part about it was how many iconic NFL and celebrities of immense stature that were there. If you're looking at the woke nature of America today, the DEI and the ESG, the things going on in corporate America to make sure that people aren't, what's the word I'm looking for? They don't say things that are politically incorrect. Okay. This whole thing was politically incorrect.
Yeah.
The whole thing was off base. This whole thing was, you know, one of my favorites was Hinchcliffe, right? Hinchcliffe. And I actually met Hinchcliffe in Austin, Texas. He hosts the number one podcast in the world. It's all comedy.
Yeah.
And what they do, they judge. Comics come up. They do their stand-up. They give them critique. They roast them. So he does this all the time.
Yeah.
And when we went to go see Rogan, when Patrick got interviewed by Rogan, Rogan takes us to this, and he takes us to the VIP section of his comedy club there in Austin. And on the wall of this comedy club in Austin, Texas, the headline was, Joe Rogan opens non-woke comedy club. And I'm thinking to myself, well, comedy is supposed to be non-woke.
Yeah, correct.
You don't have to label it non-woke. We already know it's going to offend a lot of people. And that's the fun about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. I think there's a time where in a situation, for example, side news, you know, not we're covering it, but I'll share it here. Like the Boy Scouts of America are changing their name to be more inclusive. They're calling it the Scouts of America.
Isn't there such thing as the Girl Scouts?
There is such a thing as the Girl Scouts. So isn't that inclusive enough?
Oh, so they're completely taking away the boy and the girl from the
Scouts.
They're
taking away the Boy Scouts because some girls might want to transition to become a boy, and they may not be necessarily inclusive enough of a word to say Boy Scouts of America, even though the girl may not be a boy and she wants to be a Boy Scout. She doesn't want to join the Girl Scouts.
So for you, let me ask you this. For me, I'm still in a position where I really don't care, but I watch my words only because I feel like I have to watch my words, right? But you being in the position that you're in, how far you've come in your business, your career, you know, your faith, everything that you stand for.
Yeah.
How much more does one have to tolerate certain belief systems before you say, all right, enough's enough. I actually want to address this subject matter.
I think we have too much of that tolerance right now. So I think too much of the weakening and the lowering of the standard of the Christian faith has gotten people to say, let me be tolerant, be tolerant, be tolerant. But yet they're lowering the standard, lowering the standard, lowering the standard. And quite frankly, enough is enough. Actually, I commented on that news article about the Scouts of America. I said, stop it already. Done. Stop it. And isn't kind of the premise of the Boy Scouts of America some foundation of some form of faith, some Christian faith and belief? So I think enough people aren't standing up and saying, stop. enough is enough. Let's get going to something that's not politically correct. It's okay to say what's on your mind. And by the way, here's my thoughts on the Tom Brady roast. Number one, bring this damn thing back. Bring more roasts. Giselle, who's the ex-wife of Tom Brady, she says also herself, I didn't like it at all. I think you disrespected my family. Right?
Yeah.
So in other words, certain roasts are, especially if you're a public figure. Yeah. If you're a public figure, if you want to get married to somebody that's a celebrity, you got to expect critique.
Yeah.
If you want to be a politician, you want to be a public figure, influencer, guess what you have to expect? Some form of critique. If you're building a social media channel, I don't care if you're an A-list celebrity or somebody that's starting to grow your local business. A lot of people don't do that because they're afraid what people say.
Basically, because they care too much about what people believe about them.
And by the way, I personally, and you guys may not know this, but I actually respond to all the comments. And I read about 50, 60, 70% of the comments I can get to. I'm going to get back to all of them, but I read them. Do you know why? Because sometimes the roasters...
Yeah.
The roasters tell me the truth.
Yeah.
So number one, bring this back. Bring back more roasts. Don't be so damn sensitive. And second thing is, here's why. It reveals to me what people are already thinking. It reveals to me what your position is. And by the way, I'm glad you know. Therefore, I'm to play that damn, what do you call that word? The passive-aggressive game. And here's the third thing, too, as well. Don't take yourself too damn seriously, man. Laugh at your shit. I mean, my book, Faith Made Millionaire, was all the crap I was going through. I wasn't laughing at it while I was going through it. But sure, I'm laughing at it now. You know why? Because through the faith process, through the growth process, I was able to say, you know what? Thank God it happened to me. How many times has somebody ever asked you this question? What would you change? What would you change? Going back, what would you change? What would you change? How do you answer that question?
Nothing. That's the thing. Why would you change anything? I believe if something were to change, although we think in the moment that things would be better, I believe that they would be a lot worse. Or if not, you wouldn't have been able to be in the position that you're in today. Personally.
Let me do a counterpoint to that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I would change.
Yeah.
Because I'd be further today.
Yeah.
Or in a different element. Now, possibly could that mean I don't meet you?
Yeah.
That I don't meet my kids?
Yeah.
That I don't meet my wife?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'm... Maybe another version of you.
Yeah.
Another version of my wife. Maybe them, but another dimension, another parallel universe.
So check this out. I want to share this point. As you know, 2016, my father passed away from cancer. So once in a blue moon, life shit hits the fan, and I'm like, damn, Dad, this is where I kind of wish you were around. Cool. About two, three weeks ago, I was just praying, and I was talking to my dad. I still have those moments where I'm like, Dad, you know, show me, give me a sign, give me some wisdom. And when they buried my father in 2016, a monarch butterfly flew past my face. And for some reason, every time I think about my father, same thing happens. Cool, not a problem. Two and a half weeks ago or so, I was on TikTok. And I came across a video that a father will leave his son. He left him like 3-4 voicemails. Hey, son, it's me. I know you're busy. I know you're busy building your business. I was wondering if you want to go fishing this weekend. Second voicemail. Hey, son, look, I just really want to see you. I'm willing to go eat with you anywhere you want to go. Literally name the restaurant and I will be there as long as I'm able to work, you know, just be in front of your presence, bring your laptop, work in front of me. Third voicemail, last voicemail. Hey, son, I spoke to your wife and she told me that you're not in town, but, you know, if you can just text me back, just send me a text to know that you're alive, that'd be great. And then the last voicemail he got was from his mom. Hey, son, your dad has passed away. Cool. So those voicemails froze me because that was exactly what was going on with my father and I during that time. I wasn't building a business. I was just working multiple jobs, trying to make a living, trying to afford myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a wife, but I had a fiance during the time. So my body went into complete shock because I felt like that spoke to me very loudly. Cool, not a problem. I have a best friend in Chicago. His name is Manny. I haven't spoken to Manny maybe in about 2-3 weeks because he's busy building his own thing and I'm over here doing my own thing. About 3 days after that incident happened at 1-2 o'clock in the morning, he shoots me a message like around 7-8 a.m. He's like, hey, Milton, whenever you're not busy, please shoot me a call. It's very, very urgent. Cool. Fast forward, I shoot him a call. Hey, bro, what's going on? He's like, hey, man, long story short, I had a dream about your father. I'm like, okay, cool. What was the dream? I bumped into him in a building, nice, luxurious building. You know, he said hi to me. I said hi to him. And he's like, Manny, come here. Let me show you the condo that Milton bought me. So he's like, he gave me a tour of the condo. And he told me while you guys were, when we were inside the condo, like, look, he bought me this condo, but he also bought his mom a condo. But I'm on this side and his mom's condo on the other side of the hall. Immediately, I translated in, like, you know, spiritual world, physical world that we live in, right? So my condo's here, but his mom's condo's on this side. And Manny, let me tell you something. I want to let you know that I'm very proud of my son. He's done a lot for himself, but it's scary to think of the amount of more that he's going to accomplish in the next couple of years. And when I say that, I don't want you to take that lightly. And Manny's like, what do you mean by that? He's like, I'm telling you, my son's going to do big things in his world. And I think, and what did he say in Spanish? How do you translate? Oh, he said, I don't regret dying. So Manny, in the dream, he said, he froze. I'm like, he's like, sir, what do you mean you don't regret dying? He's like, look, my son looked for my approval every day of his life, every week of his life. And I was a very hard father on him. So I wouldn't give him my approval as often. So he would always be searching it, even though I wouldn't give it to him. So because of that, if I would have still been alive to this day and he would have told me, I'm gonna quit the PD, I'm gonna quit this job, to go pursue personal training in a completely different state and follow a random guy that he met at a gym, I'd be completely opposed of it. I'd be upset. I'd be pissed. And I'm pretty sure Milton wouldn't have moved and he would have stayed working as an officer. But because I wasn't around, because I wasn't there to influence him, he had to grow up on his own. Life took care of him and he had to make his own decisions as a man. And because of those decisions that he made where I had no influence, he's in a position that he's currently in right now. So when we go back to having a conversation of, you know, what will you change? That's why I think for me personally, I say nothing. Because if I were to go back and change some things, maybe that wisdom I would have gained at the moment or the things I would have known at the moment, like you said, maybe I wouldn't have met you. Maybe I wouldn't have met the people along the way. And maybe I wouldn't be in the position that I am right now. Right?
So, cool perspective, man. Yeah. Very cool perspective. By the way, good question for you. What do you think? If you were to go back, the successful version of you today, or the current version of you today, going back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, what would you change? Would you change anything? Put in the comment section below, yes or no. Change, yes, change, no, please. We want to know. Before we transition to our next topic, I want to announce a new merchandise site. People have been asking about the 7-Figure Squad gear. We just want to share this too as well. There's a site we just put up here, and here we go. There's a 7-Figure Squad merchandise site. If you look at our screen here, there it is. So you can go to shop. There you go. Shop.7figuresquad.com. And you can get our merchandise on there. We got shirts. We got hats. We got hoodies. We got tank tops. One of my favorite ones here we just launched here too as well. One of my favorite ones here is a new Just Earn It shirt. I love this. This is going to be my campaign for the summer. Just earn it. Everything that you do, man, you got to earn it. Okay, it's not showing on the screen yet. But here, maybe in a few seconds. But yeah, you can get hats here. You can get gotcha gear. You can get Faith Man Millionaire stuff. 7-Figure Squad stuff, and our new shirt here, Just Earn It, by going to shop.7figuresquad.com. Shop.7figuresquad.com. Cool. All right. And by the way, if you purchased a shirt, put in the comment section below, what did you buy? Did you buy a gotcha shirt? Did you buy a Faith Man Millionaire shirt? Did you buy a 7-Figure Squad hat? Let us know. And the first 5 people that drop a comment that they bought some gear, and we'll verify it here in our order system, you bought some gear, I'm going to send you a little special gift from our podcast to you. First 5 people that drop merch, and what did you buy? Merch, hat, merch, shirt, merch, tank top, whatever it is, put in the comment section below. I want to send you a special gift from our podcast to your address. All right, so the next topic I want to bring up, Federal Reserve Jerome Powell announced interest rates will remain higher for longer. Let's take a look at this clip.
Today, the FOMC decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings, though at a slower pace. Our restrictive stance of monetary policy has been putting downward pressure on economic activity and inflation, and the risks to achieving our employment and inflation goals have moved toward better balance over the past year. However, in recent months, inflation has shown a lack of further progress toward our 2% objective, and we remain highly attentive to inflation risks.
All right. So inflation continues to stay higher and higher. Things are continuing to be more and more expensive. People are living another level of paycheck to paycheck. everybody's waiting for this guy to drop interest rates, so therefore more borrowing can happen, more businesses can borrow more capital to grow their businesses and endeavors. Meanwhile, common Joes are paying more for groceries, eggs, rice, gasoline, electricity, rent, everything else. So there's this guy here who's also reacting to inflation because he doesn't understand inflation. So let's take a look at this clip of what this guy has to say about his perspective on what inflation really means.
Can someone smarter than me explain to me like how to spot the difference between inflation and just corporations raising their prices because they think they can make more money? Because honestly, and this is me showing my own ignorance and bias, it just feels like businesses are raising their prices and then being like, it's the economy, it's the president, it's the inflation. Butterfly flaps its wings in Peking and now milk is $9. To me, as a layman, it seems like they're just trying to make more money and not seem like the jerk in the situation. You know what I mean? Because I was thinking about the casual dining industry and how they insist that, like, millennials and Gen Z have ruined it as a business. But to me, the reason why the whole business worked is because, you know, you were providing $8 hamburgers and $5 beers, and now you provide $17 hamburgers and $12 beers. So you raise the prices, but at that price point, it doesn't feel like a casual dining experience anymore in the way it was. So less people are going. So what you needed to do now is raise prices to compensate for the fact that less people are going so that you could still make your profits. But that's not inflation, right? You raising your prices so that less people buy it and then you having to raise your prices again to compensate for less people buying it, that's not inflation, is it? Because that to me sounds like your fault. Inflation to me sounds like environmental, something like a business can't control. I'm happy to listen if you're not a jerk about it.
Well, if you're willing to listen, let me give you some insights of why inflation is up there. If we take another look at my screen here, let's see here. Where is that article at? Okay, so this is what's his website? U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. So what causes inflation to spike after 2020? Right here. So as workers bargain for better pay, okay, how many people today have been asking for a living wage? Raise it, politicians, to $12 an hour, $15 an hour, or as Governor Newsom did in California, raise it to $20 an hour. Why also firms begin to increase prices? Because if the cost of goods and services, the commodity also increases in price, it's higher in cost for that business to do business because they need access to raw materials to create the products or maybe even the services necessary to give you what you're looking for. But if it costs the entrepreneur, the one that's taking all the risk to provide that product, to provide that service, if it costs him more money to acquire these goods and services, he has to pass on that cost to the end consumer. And if part of that cost increasing of raw materials and goods and services, also the cost of paying labor is also raising, guess who they have to pass on that cost to? You, the consumer. So it's not necessarily the entrepreneur, the business person, price gouging and raising interest rates. It's because it costs them more money to acquire the materials and essential equipment necessary to do their job, to do their business, to do their offerings in order to provide you a way to improve your quality of life. If they can't get those things, if you don't want to pay higher prices for those things, then the quality of the product and the quality of the service then diminishes. Here again, too, as well. Now, volatility of energy prices, this is where policy comes in. This is where, you know, one time, have you gotten across somebody, Milton, where somebody says, well, you know, I just don't talk about politics. I don't get involved in politics.
Yeah, because they're not informed. They're scared to talk about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Because once you start actually really making money,
yeah.
Once you have a family,
yeah.
Once you have a business, once yeah. You have responsibility, guess what affects your ability to take care of those things that you chose to take responsibility and ownership over?
The policies that are made from the politics.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
These policies, these politicians affect everybody's lives. And so as a layman, you may not be aware of a lot of these things, which I appreciate you putting this out there. And again, backlogs for work orders for goods and services, if I go back to my screen here, backlogs of work orders for goods and services caused by supply chain issues. Can you go back to my screen? Backlogs of work orders for goods and services caused by supply chain issues due to COVID-19. So COVID-19 set things back. Do you remember the time where these container ships coming from China, coming from overseas, deliver these products over from overseas,
yeah.
so the entrepreneurs here can put it and stock their shelves with?
Yep.
It was delayed.
Yep.
They couldn't get that. Out. And then companies like Home Depot said, listen, we're not waiting for these ships. We're going to hire our own Maersk ship, and we'll send it over ourselves. But instead of costing us $5,000 a container to bring it over from China, now we got to go out there and bring it back. Now it's going to cost us $15,000 per container
yeah.
to bring back these products. And guess who they pass on that cost to?
Yeah, consumers, right?
They pass it on to consumer.
Yeah.
Big reason why the 99-cent store no longer exists. The dollar, you can't buy anything at the dollar store any longer for a dollar because it costs them more than a dollar to acquire, to sell it to you for, if they sold it to you for a dollar, they'd be losing money.
Yeah.
And that's why now today, they're out of business. So the concept of even the dollar store is out of business. And last but not least, price changes in the auto-related industry. Why auto-related industry? It's because in order to get these things to you, they need to put it on certain transportation. A train, a plane, a boat, and guess what they also need? Gas. Back to the energy prices, volatility of energy prices. So they have to pay more money for gas to transport it to your local Walmart, to transport to your local Walgreens or your grocery store. That's why these things are skyrocketing and why lowering the interest rates is very helpful for a lot of businesses because they can get money back to circulation. But the problem, though, is the last 4 or 5 years, 80% of all the money printed in the history of America, going back to 1776, has been printed in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
So stimulus. You remember those months? Remember those months when people said, I'm not going to work. I got a $5,000 unemployment check and a stimulus check. I'm just kicking back. Well, guess where that stimulus money was added to? The national debt. So indirectly, we're paying for it through our taxes. And now we're paying it for a high interest rate environment.
So to me, I'm studying what you're saying, and from an outside perspective, from someone who didn't study finance most of their life, I see it almost as a cycle from what you're saying. And correct me if I'm wrong, or guide me if I'm wrong. For a consumer, it means higher prices.
Yep.
For the economy, it means less spending. If for a small business owner, that
because what happens, you raise prices, you end up spending less.
Correct. Yep. So it's less spending for our economy. So for a business owner that's service-based or product-based or anything that involves that, it means loss in revenue, which then causes, like we were talking about, like a bandit over a bullet hole, it causes the quality of the product or service to drop, which then affects the consumer.
By the way, have we noticed in the last 2, 3, 4 years the lack of quality of service even in the restaurants?
Yeah.
Like people, how about this? People just expect tips.
Yeah.
You go somewhere, you go to Starbucks, tip.
Or they already add the tip to the receipt.
Right.
Like a 12%, 13% tip already added, and they expected to add the other, 8% to complete a full 20% tip?
We went to Kentucky Derby. We went down to 4th Street Live there, downtown Louisville. And we go eat at Guy Fieri, the guy with the blonde hair, eats Diners, Drivers, and Dives or something like that. Yeah. And so we go in there. We just walk into the restaurant expecting to be seated by a host or a server. Nobody comes up to us, bro. Guy Fieri's restaurant. You expect some form of hospitality or some service. The only people working there, bro, is a cook in the back who's sweating over the barbecue and the assistant, I don't know, chef, I guess, that's helping him out. But really, and the tables were still nasty. Food was still nasty, and food was still on it. They didn't spray it down to clean it off, so it was just sticky. Barbecue sauce, sticky. Like, by the way, have you guys noticed that the quality of service at restaurants have increased or has it decreased the last 4 or 5 years? What's been your observation? But yeah, back to your point.
Yeah.
It has been decreased.
So then that forces consumers or employees, I would say, also as well, to then look into getting loans out since they can't afford things. Mm-hmm. And then loans from, okay, credit cards, car notes, XYZ.
Yep.
And then that's way too high. So again, then that impacts the spending rate again, which also keeps impacting the small business. So from what I see here, and if I'm wrong, correct me. Regardless of what's going on, whether it's because of loans, whether it's because of less spending or higher prices, the person who has a small business, whether it's product or service based, those are the people who are getting impacted the most at the end of the day.
100%. Let's take a look at this article, Jordan, if we can take a look at my screen again. Douglas article from Newsweek. The company's latest small business rent report published on Friday found that 43% of business renters in the U.S. were unable to pay their rent in full and on time in the month of April. That was just last month, brother. Such a high delinquency hasn't been reported in the U.S. since March of 2021, at the height of COVID-19 pandemic, when it reached 49%. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a sign of a recession. We just saw another bank fail a couple weeks ago. You saw all these things that happened at the beginning of this year. You saw Tom Brady getting roasted because of cryptocurrency. And anytime a recession happens, and by the way, if you want some facts and data, the definition of a recession is when the country for two consecutive quarters, that's 6 months. One quarter is 3 months, second quarter is another 3 months, 6 months. If you have 6 months of negative GDP in the country, officially by definition, we are in a recession. If that's the case, we've been in a recession since July of 2021.
2 years almost.
Almost 2 years. Yeah, 3 years.
3 years. Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah. So when you're looking at this situation, when you look at the situation, it's shocking how many people are still getting ahead and how many businesses here. Because if times are tough, and here's another thing too as well, what does Jerome Powell say about the interest rate? Here's an interesting thing from his last interview here. If you look back on my screen, there it is. Okay, right here on my screen is he was asked about price levels. Okay, asked about price levels. Because people are like, listen, we get the inflation rate, we get the interest rates, but how are things coming down? We want things to come down. Where is it here? I had it highlighted. Okay, it must have not gotten highlighted. Powell said high prices for basic necessities explains why Americans have been relatively dissatisfied with what has otherwise been a pretty good economy. Good economy to who?
Yeah.
Good economy to who? Right. And by the way, this is the narrative that keeps being pushed by this administration. And even though Jerome Powell says, no, we don't do anything based on politics. Okay. So who's this economy good for? Well, I'll tell you this, not to be cynical, it's been a great economy for me. A lot of people have been suffering depending on their industry. For me, being in the insurance industry and financial service, it's been a great economy. So certain industries get impacted the most when times like this come. Why? Here's another thing why. I've never built a business for the last 25 years where I had to raise capital, getting investors to come in, or borrowing money from the SBA. I don't know how to fill out a business loan. I've never, even the PPP loan, brother, when they're handing out the PPP loan, the loan for the stimulus, yes, for small business owners. And if you get this money, Biden says you don't got to pay it back. Okay? We didn't apply for it. Zero. Why? Because we have cash in the bank. And from a moral standpoint, so you know what? Let other businesses that have higher cost of doing business than us get in line. We don't want to take our spot in line from someone who's in a much more needier position.
Yeah.
Let's them get their money. So I don't know how to fill out a business loan. I don't know how to use credit to build a business. All I know is how to make money, keep my expenses down, difference I save and capitalize in cash so different opportunities come up. I don't ask anybody. I'm the bank. I take out from my bank account. I take out from my life insurance policies, and I go forward with whatever decision I make from there.
I forgot I had money on my life insurance policy. That's nice. That's a nice reminder, man.
What a great reminder, huh?
That's a nice reminder.
But it affects a lot of folks. You ask, you know, who does it really affect? Here's another thing, too, as well. Who's really affected by this? You know what? Let me go back. Let me see if I can find this. I want to get his words here. But here he goes. Jerome Powell said in terms of prices, the prices of some things will decline, others will go up, but we don't expect to see a decline in the overall price level. So what does that mean to the common person? Don't expect the cost of gas, the cost of food, the cost of rent, the cost of electricity, a lot of these things that we pay for on a daily basis, according to the Federal Reserve Chairman's words, I don't expect to see a decline in the overall price level. Now, you can be complaining about that, you can be pissed off about that, but this is a sign that you need to bust your tail on earning more money and finding ways to increase your income. I'm just curious, Milton, what's been your observation? You've been hanging around me, you've been hanging around all the workshops we've been doing for the Common Joe here at PHP and my team here at PHP called the Money Smart Movement. What's been your observation from guys and gals you see coming in and out our offices in terms of this situation?
No matter who you are, no matter how many degrees you have, no matter how much experience you have in your industry, no matter how many skills you may have, nobody's safe in this economy. Nobody. Nobody's safe unless you've mastered or have an idea of the money game and you're building something for yourself. If you're a person who went to school for a four-year degree, a bachelor's, a master's, a PhD, a doctorate, I've seen people with PhDs walk through your office asking for help.
Actually, doctors.
Yeah.
Right.
I've seen people who have their own small businesses.
Doctors.
Yeah. Brain surgeons, right? Mm-hmm. Neurologists. I've seen people who have small businesses who are looking for a way out. I see people who have 9-to-5s who are looking for extra income. I've seen people who have two solid jobs and are making well over $250,000 a year who are looking for more income. So from what I've seen, nobody's safe. You have a mix in that room.
And the crazy thing is, bro, last month we paid out the most amount of money to our guys who are licensed than any other month in the history of me doing this. I paid out last month in April 2024. I paid out over $2.3 million of commissions last month for our licensed agents, part-time and full-time. It's the most money we've ever paid.
Yeah.
So in spite of all the craziness you find, if certain industries, I'm not the only one. There could be other industries you need to do your research. I'm an option for other people to take a look at, but I'm not the only one. There's other things out there that people can do outside of just the insurance industry that can help secure their cash flow. Because here's who's affecting too as well. Where's my Gen Zs out there? Who's in their 20s and early 30s? All right, if you could take a look at my screen here real quick. Gen Z's home ownership rate stagnated in 2023. But millennials and Gen Xers saw gains. Do you know why? Because millennials and Gen Xers, in spite of all the things that's crushing people in America, millennials and Gen Xers are older. They got more experience. They tend to be retained by companies versus, remember the video we did last week? That this girl's got degrees and she's not getting a job.
Yeah.
Well, millennials and Gen Xers don't necessarily have that problem because they not only have the job, but they also have their experience. Yeah. So Gen Zs aren't buying homes. They're renting instead. They're not starting a business. They're staying at their jobs instead if they can find one. And worse, Gen Zs aren't getting married. If you're not getting married, you're not having kids raised under the same roof. So it's really affecting this generation of the Gen Zs. And, you know, my kids are Gen Zs. And thank goodness they have, you know, a conversation with me frequently about this type of topic. And we can process, but not every kid has a dad that's in this position. So I encourage the parents out there, if you have 20-year-olds, you got to lead by example. You got to go out there and do what's best for your family instead of just telling them what to do. Show them what to do by your own personal example. All right, let's take a look at the next topic here. You got some myth busting stuff.
Let's do the myth busting, man. And same thing I told you. So in your the beginning of you starting off with focusing on your health. If someone were to tell you, Matt, exercise is a waste of time, why are you even doing this? Is that something you would consider if they try to show you as much fact as possible? Or do you feel like you know that exercise on some level impacts the way you are, the way you walk, the way you move, the way you do business?
From a common sense standpoint, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
I don't have to be too scientific to analyze that. If you don't move, you don't get better.
1,000%. And that's the same exact thing that I believe. And throughout this myth-busting moment, I want to be able to share data on how exercise not only does it affect, impact, which is the obvious, your health, but it also impacts your finances. But before we do
motion
that.
Motion is lotion, baby.
Exactly. But before we do that, I want to show you guys this video on where I got this exercise is a waste of time video from.
Life's too short to exercise. I'm just going to be honest. There are so many better things to do than exercise.
Spoken from a guy that looks obviously out of shape.
And this is what I'm saying. The exercise is such a conspiracy. They go, let's say you spend an hour on a treadmill.
This guy's got zero credibility. Why even?
It's not a conspiracy.
Let me explain why it's a conspiracy. You spend an hour on a treadmill every day.
Yeah.
Somebody get out a calculator. Okay, let's say you live to be 85.
Okay, 85 years old.
And you're exercising every day since 15 years old.
So, 70 years of exercise.
70 years. So 70 times 365 and an hour every day. How many hours?
25,500.
Divided by 24.
1,064 days.
Divided by 365.
It's 14 pages.
I'm sick of hearing that shit already. Think about every civilization that's ever conquered anything.
Yeah.
The Romans, the Greeks, the Aztecs, the Mayans. Right,
yeah.
the Russians, the yeah. Germans, the Ottomans.
Yeah.
Every generation had strong men that exercised. I'll just stop there because I don't want to take over your segment.
No, you're right. You're right. They moved. They hunted.
That competed.
Right.
That got better every day. That was moving around. You know, when I watched the movie Apocalypto, it's one of my favorite movies. By the way, can't understand it, but it's spoken in Mayan.
Yeah.
But my favorite saying, that young man, when he's like, yo, you can't come after me. This is my jungle. This is the jungle that my father hunted, and this the jungle that my grandfather hunted, and my sons will hunt Also, so he's talking about his whole lineage of hunters. They were sitting around a TV doing nothing. I mean, listen, man, before you listen to somebody's, I don't know, words or guidance or advice, look at what type of life they're living and ask themselves, do I want to sound like that? Do I want to look like that?
Yeah.
Do I want to feel like that? So it's so easy to get behind this mic and talk a lot of nonsense. And by the way, that's such a compelling advice, though.
Yeah.
It's so compelling. So attractive to a lot of people.
To a lot of people, 100%. But that's why if you look at the science and the studies, 50, 60, 70 years ago, that's why testosterone levels are so high. They were higher than where they're at today. Whatever was considered low back then, today is considered normal. And whatever's considered extremely high today, back then was considered average.
Yeah.
Because everything was manual labor. The entrepreneurial aspect was there, but there was a lot more manual labors, laborers versus sitting at a desk at all times.
Yeah.
So coming from a financial standpoint, for the people who are in corporate America who run their own businesses, I got some math for you guys. That actually comes from Harvard studies and Johnson & Johnson studies, two reputable places that you can actually get studies from when it comes down to fitness and health. So I'm talking about being able to maximize your business profits, right? And I wrote down here, here's why an investment in your health can literally net you around $64,000 on an annual basis. So Matt, you can correct me on my math if I'm wrong, but I'm going to walk you guys step by step. So there's two data points that support this statement that exercise can actually impact not only your physical health, but also your financial health. So one is an entrepreneur, business person, C-suite executive, whoever, understands that there's an ROI in a wellness program. And let's just utilize the most basic. Let's just say your investment on a month-to-month basis is $1,000. So studies show, again, Harvard Business Reviews and Johnson & Johnson Reviews shows that a return of $2.71 for every dollar spent on your health and fitness reduces sick days and also healthcare costs. So now, by allocating $1,000 monthly on a wellness budget, you can yield an ROI of around $2,710 per month, which is a little bit over $32,000 annually. Now, for this, understanding that the ROI is not just, oh, I feel better, oh, I look better, oh, I think better, oh, I process better. It's also a financial thing because, Matt, you know this, medications, pharmaceutical drugs that you take over the counter, having to take allergy medicine, having to take Tylenol, whatever you have to take whenever you're feeling sick, or when we go a little bit further out, whenever the less you get sick, the less you have to go to the doctor. And if you don't have insurance, you know those doctor visits can get pretty, pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. Now, an action plan that you can take, a three-step action plan that all you guys can take in order for you to get a good ROI on your investment on your health and fitness services, is being able to identify the need, knowing what areas of your life you need to improve, whether it has to do with fitness, whether it has to do with diet optimization or stress management. And then number two is, based off of your needs, create a wellness budget. Figure out exactly what you need when it comes down to food, fitness, health, anything above those lines, and create a budget that will be able to work for you. And then the third thing, so you can see that this actually works, is have some form of metric system. Track your healthcare expenses, meds, doctor visits. Also track the difference between before you start, you know, how many times you went to a doctor, how many times you had to get a call off, how many times you stayed in because you were exhausted and sick and you couldn't move, how many times, you know, you couldn't make that call or make that meeting because you were just completely out of it because your health was bad, versus 12 months after you started a fitness program, how that actually impacted how much more you showed up. Number two is being able to, the second data point is it optimizes productivity. Another Harvard study, exercise improves productivity by 15%. Which is crucial for a high-level entrepreneur like Matt, who needs to think critically and pivot quickly. Now, again, going back to, let's just say an entrepreneur is earning around $10,000 a month. A 15% productivity boost for a person who's making around $10,000 a month equates to an extra $1,500 a month, which equates to $18,000 on an annual basis. Again, actionable steps for you guys who are trying to optimize your productivity and being able to incorporate a fitness routine under your daily activity. It could be morning, midday, evening, whatever works for you. Find a time slot that is able to work for you. Matt, religiously since 2019, at least with me, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 6 p.m. every single week. As long as he's not traveling, he doesn't care if he has pneumonia, he doesn't care if he has gout flares, he doesn't care what's going on in his personal life, in his business life. This man shows up on a consistent basis. Number two, being able to track your productivity. Track how many deals have been closed from prior to you starting your fitness journey to post on how much more you've done, how much more influence you've gotten, how much better your leadership has gotten, how much better your energy has been able to get. And also, as time goes by, being able to refine and being able to modify if you need to, and being able to pivot whenever you need to be able to pivot, because this isn't a linear change. It's going to have a lot of highs and a lot of lows. But I urge every single listener who's listening to this podcast right now, when it comes down to this aspect, to make sure that you prioritize your health, because your health is going to make a massive impact in the way you look. It's going to make a massive impact on the way you feel. It's going to make a massive impact on the way you think. It's going to make a massive impact on the way you treat people, the way you treat yourself, and the way you treat your business. And the way you treat people, and the way you treat yourself, and the way you treat your business is going to impact the way your pockets are looking.
I mean, look at Kendrick. I mean, you're starting to work out with me now on our Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Yeah.
Right? And by the way, it's not like I go to the gym all the time. I go to the gym three times, four times a week. But look at his income. He made $36,000 last month. The guy used to make $70,000 a year with a master's degree in psychology. So in addition to that, the intrinsic value that you get by being a better father with a lot more energy. Can't tell you, bro, last night, my son's 3, 4 o'clock in the morning running around the house. Right? I'm running around. If I wasn't in shape,
yeah,
you know, I'd be, kid, what are you doing? Right? And so, and on top of it, he wants me to run after him.
Yeah.
What do you want to do? Just be like that guy sitting down on my ass? Doing right. Nothing. Sit down. I'm running after him. We're having a blast. We're having a good time. I'm having him run off his energy. So we got a few minutes left here. Let's go to the last topic here. Dad says, get a college degree that's worth it. Let's take a look at this clip, because if there's an investment of money that we're talking about, people are thinking college. People are rethinking college right now. And this dad says to his daughter, think about it, the college degree that's worth it. Let's take a look at this.
Dad refused to pay for his daughter's English degree, but he funded both of his sons' medical school. The dad posted to Reddit saying that he sat his daughter Jane down and told her that if she went through with her English degree, he wouldn't support her at all. Jane is 21 and getting a late start on schooling. She'd just been accepted to her dream college to pursue a degree in English.
She's 21.
In comparison, Jane's two older brothers are now both well-paid medical doctors. Her dad had paid for her to rest and travel for a year, and now her parents had offered to pay for her entire education on one condition. She had to get a degree that was, quote, worth it.
Yes,
the dad was frustrated by her choice of an English degree. And Jane told him that he favored her brothers over her because he had paid for their university fees. The two sons thought their dad was being too harsh on Jane and that he should pay for her schooling. The dad feels like this is Jane's way of rebelling. What? He wants her to do something useful that she can live off of. And boy, did the English majors of Reddit deliver. They shared in the comments their stories of fulfilling careers and changing lives. The truth is, an English degree can be very useful. Soft skills such as critical thinking, creative and technical writing, speech, and analytical skills covered in humanities courses are often essential in the workforce. The arts are frequently undervalued, underfunded, and overlooked, but that doesn't make them worthless. The truth is, any degree can turn into a thriving career. Who do you think was wrong in this situation, the dad or the daughter?
Any degree can turn into a thriving career. I don't think you need a degree to have a thriving career. More companies today have taken off the requirement for you to have a bachelor's degree to apply for certain jobs. The federal government has taken certain jobs that you don't need a bachelor's degree to have an application go through to be interviewed. So great, great message here by it. But here, a couple things I don't agree with. You're watching this podcast right now. What's the highest income monthly income you've earned so far as an entrepreneur?
In the last 4 years, the highest month is $80,000.
$80,000 in 1 month. What's your college degree? Where'd you go?
I dropped out after 1 year of Triton College, community college.
I went to DePaul University with my GI Bill to get my certified financial planning certification. Couldn't stand it, bro. Maybe less than a year. But I got 4 out of 6 modules complete. I just knocked it all out real quick. I couldn't stand it any longer, man. I couldn't stand why. Because here's why. I was 24, 25 years old in college. Everybody's younger and smarter than me, and I need to make money now. And I was just frustrated. I said, anyone, just get out of here. Let me just go back to this insurance thing that I'm doing, and I made more money doing it. But is the dad right? That's the question. Is the dad right? Listen, as a dad to dad, good job, dad. Yeah. Salute. Great job to stand up to the daughter. Notice she was 21. In other words, since graduating high school, what's she been doing? I mean, in fact, if you want to earn your degree, here's what I suggest at 21 years old. Enlist into military. Earn your degree. Get your GI Bill. If you enlist in Illinois or Texas, the state will pay for your college degree, for your English degree. Because if you want your dad to pay for it, guess what he paid for? His two older sons.
Yeah.
Her older brothers. Where'd they go to, though?
Yeah.
Medical school.
Yeah.
They became doctors. And we can be after $100,000 investment, even for an English degree. The reason why it says worth it, because the return on investment to make a $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a year job from $100,000 in debt.
Yeah.
that you got to pay for 20, 30 years of life is not worth it. Sure, getting a degree, that's worth it, but at what cost? I think today people have to assess, if I'm going to get a degree because everybody around me is doing it, I feel fulfilled because I have a college degree, because it can turn into a thriving career, but at what cost? To be saddled in debt for another 20, 30 years, and every time you apply for a loan, they're going to say, oh, you know, you qualify for this mortgage, but if you didn't have the student loan payment, you know, you get a bigger house. Or some of them say you have no house.
I think looking back at it now, if I'm thinking the way I'm thinking right now, I guess it's one of those moments where like, hey, if I can change anything, I would. Mm-hmm. I would be thinking long term versus short term. Short term was, criminal justice, exercise science, and call it a day, right? Mm-hmm. Going for what I wanted to do. But long term, how I see everything happening right now with artificial intelligence, I don't see technology, a technology degree and a science degree ever not being a good idea. And then if you decide to be a doctor, or you decide to go and, you know, become a lawyer or anything along those lines, combining it with some form of technology degree as well, like a hybrid degree.
Because
I believe no matter what job you have, no matter what career you're in, no matter what business you may be running, at the end of the day, there's going to involve a massive amount of technology in your business. And if you don't have, if you're not caught up with the technology that we have now, and then it's going to be a very, very scary world for you as a business owner in the next 5 to 10 years if you don't know what technology is and you don't know how to work artificial intelligence to your favor.
By the way, let's put some data behind this. Let me just not have you think that I'm just in my feelings. Let's put some data behind this. Jordan, can you share my screen, please? So this is the college costs back to the 70s. Real versus adjusted for inflation. Look at the cost of college. Private college, public college, college costs, period. Look how massive the cost of colleges has increased. And why do people go to college? Because you go get a college degree, you end up making more?
Yeah.
Making more what?
People think you end up making more money.
Let's take a look at the data. Let's take a look at the data. Here's your wages data. It's stagflated. It's gone sideways. Whereas college, wham, ramp up, compounding. That's how you want your investments to look like.
Bro, I remember about 10 years
wages.
Ago. Yeah,
there it is.
10 years ago, you needed a bachelor's or a master's degree to be a police officer. And I remember in 2013, you needed a bachelor's degree to become a personal trainer at Lifetime.
Crazy, man. Crazy.
Now, no. CPD, NYPD, LAPD, all you need is a high school diploma.
By the way, this is my call to action for the Certified Financial Planning Board. Could you please remove the bachelor's degree requirement so more people can be certified financial planners? What does a college degree have to do with becoming a certified financial planner? Actually, the more life experience you have with certain... Matter of fact, you should replace that with industry experience under a mentor. So if you don't want people getting a certified financial planning designation because they don't have a bachelor's degree, you should replace it with some form of industry experience instead. Because financial planning is not learned in the classroom. Financial planning and financial industry overall and coaching people about retirement and future planning requires experience, not academia. By the way, Jordan, you have one last video? 30 seconds of this video of this doctor talk about getting a degree because you are a doctor. Go to school for doctor. Become a doctor. Become a doctor. Become a doctor. Let's take what a doctor says about becoming a doctor.
And one bit of advice to get college students thinking about going to medical school, it would be don't. First of all,
wow.
Getting your MD these days largely means you work for somebody else.
Sure.
And that somebody else isn't your patients. Doctors do not work for themselves anymore. It's very rare for that to happen. Employed physicians now have quotas.
Crazy.
They have a certain number of patients that they have to see every hour. The amount of documentation that they have to get paid is exhausting. For my generation and older, this is not what we signed up for. The doctor merely exists to provide a diagnosis and then an algorithm dictates a list of approved treatments for that diagnosis code that the insurance company pays for. So hear that again. Algorithms and protocols dictate treatment that you and I receive for...
We can stop right there. Back to the reason why you need to invest in your health. Let's go back to your topic.
Algorithm is deciding whether I have cancer or don't have cancer.
You're in the damn matrix, man. You need to get out the matrix. A computer, AI, is determining how... You need to take care of yourself. So back to the justification of why you need to invest in your health big time. If you can't have that investment in health right now, your current situation, again, back to my original thought process. In the narrative of this podcast, Seven Figure Squad, go out and make your money. everybody is making more money that's thinking about focusing on making money, if they put their time and attention, everybody thinks that way and sticks with that decision is making more money. You just got to ask yourself who you are surrounding yourself with. And I'll just say this in terms of, is a college degree worth it? I want you to get a college degree if you're going to STEM, which is science, technology, engineering, math. I'll add medicine. I'll also add L for legal. Go to college for these things. But getting an English degree, for what? What's the outcome? So I asked my daughter, 17, 18 years old, in front of her advisors at her high school, because she had a Notre Dame a pennant behind her. She's going to college. I asked her in front of all of her principal and her counselors, why do you want to go to college? Because everybody else telling you to go to college? Well, yeah. Well, wait, what's your outcome of going to college? She goes, Poppy, I want to be like you. I want to make a lot of money. Well, counselors, principal, I live here in this Hinsdale area where a lot of people go to the NFL or into levels of higher success in corporate America, and your dad doesn't have a college degree. So counselors, principal, if the narrative here at the school is for my daughter to go to college and to only be successful, you're looking at an example right now that she lives with, then they have a college degree and can afford to live in this neighborhood here in Hinsdale. By the way, two former Hinsdale Central football players got drafted by the Bears in the last couple of years. So it's been pretty cool. Yeah. They're all linemen, though. Yeah. They're all linemen. Big boys, right? But final thoughts, man. Go get rich. The premise of this podcast is for so you can have finance, entrepreneurship, fitness, converge with faith. And we want you guys to know that in spite of all the different things that's going on in America today, if you decide to take ownership and responsibility over it, a lot of things can happen to you and for you instead of against you if you decide to be proactive in your future success, especially with your future income, just like Milton here and many of our listeners have had to as well. So if you don't have the community to plug into, if you don't have somebody to talk to about executing these type of things, I've got offices across the country. I've got offices in Dallas, Chicago, Orlando, Fort Lauderdale, office in Tallahassee, Miami, Atlanta, and Memphis. And I can plug you into one of these offices if you're watching this podcast from those areas. I could plug into a local office, so therefore you can surround yourself with a different environment. So therefore you can think like a millionaire. You can strategize like a millionaire. So therefore one day you can become a first-generation cash flow millionaire. Last but not least, don't forget, go to shop.7figuresquad.com to pick up your merch. If you're one of the first five people to buy merch, and comment in the comment section below, merch, hat, merch, shirt, whatever you bought, put merch, whatever, I'm going to send you a special gift from my podcast here, our podcast here, to your address for being one of the first five customers of the Seven Figure Squad merchandise store. That being said, God bless you guys. See you Friday. We have another special we have a special guest coming in from New York.
From New York, sir.
We're going to be talking about trading and talking about how to make money trading. So stay tuned here on Friday, noon Central Standard Time. That being said, subscribe, like, comment below. Agree with us? Don't agree with us? Please, we want to know. Tune in again. Continue to live smart. Continue to love smart. And be money smart today.